You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit goleminstitute.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-azkiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Today in the recitation, inshallah, there is a very beautiful verse that will be recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds us of the story of Musa and Qarun. Musa alayhi salam was one of the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brought Musa alayhi salam so close. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated the rank of Musa alayhi salam to such a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. That's why Musa alayhi salam is referred to as the Kalimullah, the one who spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the scholars have a difference of opinion amongst themselves. How many times did Musa alayhi salam speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's a discussion. Some scholars hold the opinion that it was only once, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at different places in the Quran, mentioned the 16th juz of the Quran, the 19th juz of the Quran, and the 20th, three different accounts of the same incident. The accounts are the same, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it three times in the Quran and other places as well. Now, Musa alayhi salam, being this great prophet, he made a very beautiful dua. And this is one of the most beautiful duas. Every time I read this dua or this dua is recited, it really makes me think. I think how great of a family man was Musa alayhi salam. That Musa alayhi salam wasn't only happy with himself being a prophet, Musa alayhi salam made a special dua to Allah, and this is the best dua any brother ever made for another brother. He said, "Ya Allah, you made me a prophet, what about my brother?" And he begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give his brother Harun alayhi salam nubuwa as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Musa, because you've asked, we'll give nubuwa to your brother as well." And through the dua of his brother, through the dua of Harun alayhi salam's brother, Harun alayhi salam is granted prophethood. Now this is something very beautiful, and it shows how much concern and how much care one brother should have for another, and what kind of relationship these two brothers had. Musa alayhi salam was very intellectual, very firm, very strong, but the one thing Musa alayhi salam lacked in was the ability to speak. This was his challenge, because the narration mentioned that when he was young, he was brought into Fir'aun's palace, as we recited today. And Fir'aun was worried because he had seen a dream that a child would grow from Bani Israel to kill him. And when he saw this child, and this child was picked out of the Yam, the ocean, he was worried that what if this is the child? So he decided to put this small baby through a test. A tray was brought, one had gold in it, one had fire in it. And he wanted to see which way the child's hand went. If the child's hand went to the gold, that means the child was intellectual and he was gifted from Allah. That means that this person would be the prophet that would kill him and he would slay this child. But if the child's hand went to the fire, then he had no threat from this child. I mean, it's a very silly test to put a baby through, but Fir'aun wasn't intellectual anyway. So Fir'aun puts a small little baby through this test. And as Musa alayhi salam is extending his hand towards the gold, the narration mentioned Jibreel alayhi salam came and he pushed Musa alayhi salam's hand. And Musa alayhi salam picked up the hot object there and he put it in his mouth, which caused him to have a lisp in his tongue. He couldn't speak properly. He used to stutter a lot. Musa alayhi salam used to stutter. That's why there is an ayah in the Quran, in the 16th juz that we recited, that Musa alayhi salam said, "Ya Allah, you're sending me to Fir'aun, you know, this great oppressor, one of the greatest oppressors history has seen, the man who runs such a big kingdom, he's a king himself. How am I going to debate with him and discuss with him when I can't even speak? My tongue lisps, it stutters." So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave two solutions to Musa alayhi salam. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Musa alayhi salam, a dua. That read this dua, Allah will open your tongue. The second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, where you can't speak, your brother has the ability to speak, take your brother with you as well. So Musa alayhi salam, he says to Allah, "Ya Allah, I have a stutter with my tongue. Give my brother the prophethood and he will be my backup. He'll be my sidekick. And as I give the message, my brother will speak, and that's how we'll convey the message." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. Now the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Musa alayhi salam to read to clear his tongue up is a very important dua. This is a dua that we should make all of our children read, and we should read ourselves. When we were in madrasa, and we would sit down to read the Quran, when we would sit down to learn our lesson, all of our teachers had told us to read this dua. And you can ask any child who's been through a traditional madrasa, they will tell you their teacher also told them to read this dua. And the scholars say if you read this dua before sitting down to read the Quran, Allah will take the verses that you read and he'll settle it into your heart. What is the dua? Anyone know? Everybody knows it. رَبِّ شَرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. رَبِّ شَرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh Allah, open my breast. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And make my matters easy. وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. And open the knot from my tongue. Right? يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So that they can understand my speech. So they can understand what I'm saying. And then after that, he continued on. That's where we read until. But then Musa alayhi salam's dua didn't stop there. He continued on. He said, هَارُونَ أَخِي أُشْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي. Oh my Lord, and my brother Harun. أُشْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي. Let him be the one who makes my back firm. Let him be the one who's got my back. وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي. And join him in my matter. Just as I'm a prophet, make him a prophet, too. كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. So that we may join together and glorify you, so we may join together and remember you. Now this dua of Musa alayhi salam for his brother and Harun alayhi salam being granted the prophet and prophethood, and Musa and Harun alayhi salam being, you know, watched over by Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam walking him through the different steps of how to give dawah and how to take care of people. There are so many lessons in this. But there was one person on the sideline that was watching all of this who was burning in jealousy. And that person was a man by the name of Qarun. Qarun was the cousin of Musa alayhi salam. According to some scholars, he was a maternal cousin. Some say he was a paternal cousin. But he was the first cousin of the Prophet of Musa alayhi salam. Some scholars say he was the son of the cousin of Musa alayhi salam, but he was the same age. Now when he was seeing all this from the sideline, he was seeing that Musa alayhi salam was a prophet. And he thought, I am more worthy of knowledge than Musa. Because he used to sit down and read all the time. He used to read so many books. They say he had a lot of knowledge. He had read books that the average person hadn't even known of their existence. So he thought, I have more knowledge than Musa. I should be the prophet, not him. This was a jealousy first in his heart. But he somehow controlled that. The part that pushed him over the edge was when he saw Harun alayhi salam get prophethood. That's where he felt that he didn't deserve prophethood before me, and he definitely doesn't. So at this point, Qarun became one who would rebel against Musa alayhi salam. He wouldn't listen to Musa alayhi salam. Very, very arrogant. Very arrogant. You know, the narrations mention that Harun had learned the knowledge. He had acquired had acquired perfection in the science of alchemy. You guys know what alchemy is? It's like the science that supposedly exists, that you can take, you know, non-gold and turn it into gold. In Arabic, we call it alkimia, right? To take non-gold and turn it into gold, non-silver and turn it into silver. So some scholars say Qarun had actually perfected this. And he had the ability to turn non-gold into gold and non-silver into silver. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to his treasures as being so great that even a large group of men couldn't carry the keys that belonged to Qarun's treasures. Now he realized that if he couldn't beat Musa alayhi salam in knowledge, he felt that he would make himself feel better by beating Musa alayhi salam in wealth. Now Musa alayhi salam really wasn't a wealthy person. And the prophets of Allah are usually very humble people. Musa alayhi salam was a very humble person. But Qarun started developing his empire. And the scholars have gone as far as saying that the foundation to his house, right? And you can find this in the books of Tafsir. The foundation to his house was actually made of silver. Well, it's underneath the ground. The foundation to it. And today, silver has no value. In those days, the value of silver and gold was, it was neck to neck. It was similar. Okay, so imagine a foundation of your house being made of gold, not even the top part. This is the bottom part. And he has such great wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ وَلِلْقُوَّةِ. That his keys, just the keys, they couldn't be carried by a large group of men. The scholars, they discuss, what is usba? Some say usba is a number of men that's either from 15 to 70. Some say usba is a group of men that is 40. Some say usba is a group of 70. Which means a large group of people just couldn't carry his keys, let alone the treasure. Now what happened was that Musa alayhi salam, he was instructed by Allah to collect zakat from people. You know how we as Muslims also give our zakat. The month of Ramadan is a very beautiful time to give your zakat. For those of us who haven't, make an intention, inshallah, everyone will take their zakat. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So here Musa alayhi salam comes to Qarun. And he says to him, cousin, your zakat. Now this was a very tough moment for Qarun, because Qarun was full of jealousy towards Musa alayhi salam and his brother. And now Musa is telling him, submit yourself to me. I am the Prophet of Allah, give me your zakah. So Qarun became so angry, he said, you get out of here. I'm not giving you a single penny. Allah didn't give me this wealth. I earned this wealth by my own doing. Now when he said this, Musa alayhi salam came back to the masjid. And Musa alayhi salam was addressing the people. Qarun became so angry with Musa alayhi salam that he decided to mess up Musa alayhi salam's image. He went to the market, he found a lady, she was a prostitute. He came to her and said to her that I will pay you a very large sum of money if you go to the mosque and while Musa is giving his lecture, you stand up and claim zina, that he committed adultery with you. The lady said, if the money is right, I'll do it. So she came to the masjid. And Qarun is a wealthy person, so he was going to give the right price, obviously, right? Qarun, he sends her, she comes to the masjid. Musa alayhi salam was giving his lecture, and this lady stands up from the back of the gathering, and she says, that man there committed zina with me. The whole crowd is pin drop silence. And Musa alayhi salam himself is shocked. What is this lady saying? So he says to her, what? She said, you committed zina with me. Musa alayhi salam, he said to her, I make you take an oath by the Allah who revealed the Torah upon me, that speak the truth now. Now, Musa alayhi salam, by the way, he had this intimidating side as well, by the way, for those of you who don't know. I mean, Musa alayhi salam was known for the one-punch knockout. You guys remember that? Yes, the one-punch knockout. He killed the guy one punch, okay? So he gave her the eye to eye, and he said to her, I make you take an oath by the Lord who revealed Tawrat unto me, did I commit zina with you? And she said, la, no, you didn't commit zina with me. Qarun forced me, he paid me, the money's outside. So Musa alayhi salam, he fell into sajda. And he began to cry. And the narrations mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, why are you crying? He said, ya Allah, Qarun was jealous of me. He refused to pay zakat to me. And today he's gone as far as saying, I committed zina? He said, ya Allah, alayka bihi. Now you take care of him. So now Qarun, he sets up this beautiful parade in which he's exhibiting all of his wealth. And the Quran mentions, فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِي. Qarun exited his house on the other side and he had all this wealth. He was on an exposition, showing everyone, exhibiting his wealth. And as he exited, the Quran mentions that when the people saw his wealth, their jaws dropped. And they said, يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ. Only if we had as much as money as he has. And this is very interesting because we make the same statement. You know, when we watch these TV shows where they're showing the houses of these stars and they're showing their cars, what do we end up saying? Only if I had as much as that person has. You know, many of us end up saying, only if I had as much as wealth as that king had, or that prince had, or that player has, or that pop star has, or that movie star has. We make the same claims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they said, إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ, that he has a lot of money. But then Allah says, look, those were the foolish people. Those are the average, low-end people. They just look at money and that's what world means to them. Those are people who don't really have a deep understanding of anything. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ عُوتُ الْعِلْمِ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنُ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. However, the intellectual people, the guys who are of a higher thinking, a higher standard, they said that money's nothing. Only if that guy had enough good deeds to match his good wealth. Then it would mean something. What's all this money? It's nothing. You know, this money is not even going to reach to you inside your grave. It's so sad, right? Your money won't even come to your grave. When your body's being lowered down, not a single dollar will go in that grave with you. Not a single dollar. All of it gets left behind. So here, the people are watching, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he instructs the earth that swallow him. And the earth splits open. Qarun and all of his wealth go inside the ground and sealed shut. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, now I ask you, O Qarun, is there anyone to come and help you today? Can't you go sign a check and call someone to help you and pull you out of the ground now? What is all of your wealth going to do for you today? Today your wealth doesn't mean anything to you. So in summary, what we learn from these beautiful verses, my friends, is that, you know, learn to develop your akhirah as you develop your dunya. And never ever be shy to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially when it comes to your obligations. If you think by not giving zakat on a saving that you have in your account for $200,000 or $300,000 is going to make you wealthier, it's not. You're lying to yourself. That's deception. Because Allah, the one who gave you the wealth, has the ability to
take it back.
Just like that. Just like that. It can all be swallowed and gone. So be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be very particular and punctual to take out your zakat, my dear brothers and sisters. This is the summary of what we learned from Qarun's story. Never be arrogant over your knowledge. Never be arrogant over your wealth. Never look at someone who has less wealth and frown on them, or look at them and laugh at them. Because what you have was given to you by Allah, and just as Allah gave it to you, Allah will take it from you. And in Allah's eyes, wealth does not determine your value. It doesn't matter how big of a house you live in. I've seen people who live in small houses. When I see small houses, I mean, maybe their bedrooms are the size of your toilets. But these people, by Allah, are the most fearing people on the face of the earth. These are people who maybe eat bread with water, bread with 2 days old salan. But these are people who never miss their tahajjud salah. I've seen some of my teachers, you know, this is a reality. Their pay per month was under 1,000 pounds. Under 1,000 pounds a month. No tax, no security, nothing. But these were people, subhanAllah, who went for Umrah and Hajj every year. Then we have some people in our community, you know, who are earning millions, but till today they haven't had the chance or the tawfiq to go for Hajj. So it's not all about your wealth, my friends. It's about what you do with your wealth and how you ultimately build that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from the evil, the root of all evils, jealousy. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the root of all evil, the love of the dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills in our hearts the love of the akhirah and allows us all to spend our wealth in His cause. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.